Blog Talk Radio.
Fire. Living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. Ooh, Monday, we can walk it out. Ooh, Monday,
okay, well, how about doing it just one more time? Wake up, America, across the country and around the world. It's Saturday over here. It may be Sunday where you're at. I don't know, but I'm just glad that you are listening and prepared to share one more positive segment that Dr. Clark will be sharing with you, that you'll share it with somebody else. Top of the morning to you, Dr. Clark.
Good morning, and good morning to everyone out there who may be joining us today. As always, we are excited, we are happy to have you wherever you are on this globe called the world. It's time to continue that conversation again as it relates to our lives and the impact that grief and loss can have on our lives, but not wallowing in our grief, but learning how we can embrace that pain and to live life with intention and purpose to honor the loss, whatever that loss may be, whether it's tangible or intangible, whether it's the life of someone that we, the loss of someone that we love, maybe, or is it just a relationship? Is it a job? Is it finances? Is it a friendship of some kind? Is it an animal? Is it something that we cherish? Whatever that loss is, we want to be able to live again and not be bound and shackled by the pain that can accompany that. Mr. Brown?
So it's interesting that you say so that one can live again. The value of life that sometimes we do take for granted. But I got an email, and I got to share it with you because it directly connects with what you're talking about today. How ironic is that? This young lady that, how am I going to know when I am cured? Okay. Then she went on to say, I have spent years thinking that I was over it. Then out of the blue, it hit me again like a bomb. And I just thought about what she said. I use something called a healthy distraction to help me move forward with things and I get involved in whatever I'm doing. And it starts minimizing the impact of a grief or a loss that I had experienced. That works for me. Everybody's formulas may be a little bit different. But this young lady, clearly, she had the formula, and things were going on. And then all of a sudden, she gets slammed up against the wall and says, no, grief is still here in your life. What should she do, Dr. Clark?
Thank you for that question. And it's a more common question than you would know about, that you would think when it comes to grief and loss. Earlier on when we started our conversation months ago, I talked about how the pain and the feelings and the thoughts as they relate to grief and loss are directly correlated to the relationship that we have with that loss. And what happens is that we learn how to move on in the face of those feelings and thoughts that we have, right? That's where we learn how to embrace the pain, but to live life with intention and purpose in some way, shape, form, or fashion to honor that loss. And so I venture to say that the grieving process never goes away, but it does lie dormant for a while. And just like with anything, we'll have those periodic triggers that happen. It may be a song that comes on the radio and you feel like you're right back in that place. It might be a holiday that you shared with that loss, and then you find yourself right back in that place. So if I can use the analogy of when we go on a diet and we're exercising and it seems like the weight is coming off, and we're excited and it's like, oh, I've got this, right? I'm going to get to that 20 pounds because I'm getting up every morning, I'm eating healthy, I'm doing my exercises, and we see the weight coming off, and then all of a sudden it seems like it comes to a screeching halt. And we're doing the same thing. We're getting up, we're eating healthy, we're exercising, but nothing's happening. And it seems like no matter what we do, we can't progress anymore. When we go through those stages of grief and loss, and when we're dealing with that impact, it's kind of like that. We pick up some tools and some strategies, and we're able to kind of go on with our day and go do what we're doing, and then all of a sudden we get that feeling like we've been hit by a Mack truck and we're trying to figure out what's going on, why am I back here? Remember, this process does not happen in any linear fashion. So you may find yourself hitting all the stages and giving yourself those high fives. Yes, I made it through denial. Yes, I've made it through anger. Yes, I've made it through bargaining. And yes, I've made it through the depression. And yes, I've made it to acceptance. I am at the finish line. And then life goes on, life happens, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves right back in that depression and we try to figure out what is going on. I thought I made it through this. It's normal. It will happen. Is another analogy, if I could use, is the world of substance abuse and addiction. We have been sober, right? We're doing our steps. We're going to our meetings. And I've been on this road to recovery for 15, 20 years now. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And boom, I'm taking that drink again. I'm finding myself smoking that cigarette again. There has been an external stimulus that has brought you back to that place. And so what I can offer is that you take a look at what was happening before you found yourself in this place, because there is a subtle trigger that landed you back into this space. But it's okay, because you've been in this space before. And the fact that you had gained some tools and strategies along the way that brought you this far, you now know that you can do it again. We might need to go back and see where we need to tweak this tool or tweak this strategy or tweak this coping skill. But you've done it before, and I have no doubt in my mind that you'll do it again. And this won't be the last find yourself in this space, because it will come back over time. But the good news is, because you've been there before, you have been equipped with what you need to get yourself to the next step. So give yourself permission to feel all the feelings and thoughts and emotions that are coming up right now, and give yourself permission to sit with those things, to do some soul searching about which strategies and which tools worked before, and then give yourself permission to allow those emotions and those feelings to move on and live your life with intention, knowing that at some point they may come back, but that you're armed, you're equipped, and you're ready to be able to face them. Mr. Brown?
Stand ready so you don't have to get ready. Yes, these things may come back. I'm going to equate this like one who might play a game of basketball. If anybody notices, there's a whole lot of moves to be made to accomplish one objective, which is to put the ball in the hoop. But there's also a thing called a defense. And that defense is the one that protects your team, its lead, and helps guide you on to victory. And that's where I would like to remind folks, when your defense is up, the things that you have been armed with, as Dr. Clark has mentioned, we know it's going to come back. It's okay. That's part of life, too. Sometimes it might be okay to just turn it into a good memory, whatever it was that, if you notice that there are stages in life. You start off with a warm interaction, and then it kind of levels off, and sometimes it does have an end. But those are not the things that we really always have to lock on to, that one little moment of, hey, I was mad at this person, I hate this person, or that was the day that they moved on to heaven or glory. How about the good times? To shift it, you can, and it can be done. It's a little bit challenging, but I enjoy doing that. I can even recall the first time when I had an opportunity to meet Dr. Clark. I'm up in one of the institutions where our children were locked up at, and we had had a brief conversation, and she shows up at the place. And she learned about my style, which was called being under fire. I threw her right in there. She spoke to our participants. Blew them away, me too, and the rest was history, okay? We've had on and off interactions because life has that. There's going to come a time when we'll probably never talk again because it may be my demise, her demise. We move on to other things. This is all part of life and our memory and our stories. Cherish those moments. Don't let them become so painful and be stuck on the bad time or even the loss. Remember the good times because those good times get you through the loss. Okay, let's turn it back over to the doctor and see what else she has in store for us today.
Thank you for those comments, Dr. Brown, because it is all about finding that new meaning, right? Finding that new way of being. And at different stages in life, our new way of being will change. Imagine if we stayed the same all the time at every area and stage of development. We would never grow. And so when we're dealing with grief and loss, how we got through it and how we live through it and how we thrive through it at one stage in our lives may change when we get to another stage in our life or when we get to a different environment. And so what we end up doing is we become sort of chameleons, right? And so we have to show up differently in different spaces. And so some might say, well, then I'm not being my authentic self, because that's, you know, the new thing, right? Everyone wants to show up as their authentic self and their authentic being and being who they are. But who says that you're not? Because what and who your authentic self is in one environment may very well be different in another environment. Because we are always in a place where we are evolving. And so evolving around this whole area of grief and loss is going to give us the appearance, and it's going to give us the tools and equip us with showing up the way that we need to show up in a particular place, because we still have to be protective over who we are in the midst of. And so we're working at preserving those eight dimensions of wellness that have been impacted by this. And so if I am going to show up in my work environment, my vocational environment, after I've been hit with grief and loss, how I show up in my work environment may very well look different than how I show up, say, in my church, or how I show up in my social arena, how I show up on my home front. I'm going to show up in a different way because the emotions and the feelings and the behaviors that I now carry as a result of this impacts each area of those lives. And so I've got to build up coping skills and strategies and tools and ways of living in each of those dimensions so that I can maintain some balance and some wholeness for myself.
What you're talking about,
again,
this is the history of human beings on this earth, our ability to adapt to the consistent changing environment that's around us and our own physical changes that happen.
Yes.
However, without being judgmental, I got to throw this one at you, and this one's from me. I had a friend as a child. Now, I'm almost 70 years old in a day or so, give or take. But my point being, I ran into this old friend, and I would call, as you know, when we're younger, we call him our best friend, okay? And the friend started sending me pictures of what was going on in their life. Obviously, they were glad to speak to me again after so many years or decades or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I observed was that they still dressed the same way in the conversation. They still spoke the same way. They even got a car, and that car was the same type of car when they were at their peak in the 1960s. So the reason why I'm bringing this up, Doctor, is because there's a thing called adaptability. There's a thing called finding the best version of you. But there's another thing that I'm concerned about, and I'm trying not to be judgmental, is because my friend is stuck. There's no doubt about it. Any of the language, anything that he wants to reflect on, I can tell him, hey, you know what? We got two moons now. It's a new day. And he'll only say, no, there's only one. Anyway, I know that's me being crazy instead of him, but I think you kind of get the point. He still wears a jerry curl.
Oh,
or
wow.
Certain circles, they call it a mullet. Okay.
Wow.
But that's their protection. You know, because I'm not going to say his name and nobody would know. This young man wound up during that time with later an addiction, a hardcore addiction to cocaine. He was left at home to babysit. And the baby decided to go outside to the pool, and he didn't know it. So then when he finally dawned on him, because the dog is barking, he goes out there and the baby is floating, you know, in the pool face down. So now he's really traumatized. And he's out there, he's bawling after pulling the baby to the side, can't resuscitate it. But wait a minute, he dropped his pipe and the lighter that they use for it, and he burned his house down too. So I guess what I'm saying is he stuck in a comfortable place, or is he constantly rewinding that whole thing and hoping that he can come up with a new outcome? I really feel sad for him. I won't discuss it, but I can see he's very, very stuck, okay? So I didn't want to take up too much time of that, but this is the experience of finding that place, but sometimes not allowing yourself to adapt and evolve as things change within you and around you. Doctor?
So what has happened is that the moment that that trauma hit him, he stopped growing. He stopped developing. He stopped responding. So he went into survival brain, and that's where he is stuck because it has not been addressed. He hasn't addressed the grief. He hasn't addressed the loss. He hasn't addressed the secondary losses that have come as a result of this, and he has not been able to emotionally move on. Physically, it looks like he's moving on because he's you know, has a job. Maybe he does have a car. He is living, but he's living.
Well, excuse me. Let me remind us. No, he's still stuck. Remember Jerry Curl, the same old car that he got. He found it. I mean, 1960, whatever it was. The clothes of that time when he was at his. Those clothes are outdated now. So, no, he hasn't moved on.
He's existing. He's existing, but superficially. So chronologically and I guess biologically, he's moving forward, and we're seeing the stages of development, the natural state of progression of life happen.
Mm.
But he's stuck in that period because there's all this trauma and grief and loss that has impacted him, and he put up these blockers. Because for him, if he allows himself to enter into that space to handle it, the pain of it is so heavy for him because it's so personal, because of the responsibilities that came with it. And so there's so much that needs to happen. I don't know if he ever addresses addiction. I don't know if he's, you know, still, you know, battling with that or not. But I would say that if he is no longer using, it was something that he probably did over time for himself, and it wasn't addressed in a setting where some of these things can start to be looked at. And so until he's ready to do that, he may just be one of those good old, I like the olden days, I'm not moving from it. But he'll never really feel satisfied and whole completely. There's a lot going on the inside of that. And it may be, Mr. Brown, that he shared those pictures with you for you to maybe bring up the conversation. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, but I didn't want to go there. And oh, and I forgot to add, needless to say, his wife did divorce him as well.
Mm-hmm. So he has loss on top of loss on top of loss, right?
Exactly. So the best thing is I decided to not judge him and be able to have a few kind words and just let him continue to stay stuck, because maybe in his mind he's not stuck. He's living out his life in a time that works for him.
Well, we don't know that, but is it really working for him? Is it really working? And so those are some things that we don't know, right? Maybe
absolutely.
He's not even aware that it's not working. Because if he has a social network, and no one is bringing these things to his attention, he may need a different social network. Because at some point in our lives, we need people that are going to just give us the raw and uncut version of it, whether it pleases us or not. And if I'm surrounded by people that see clearly that something is not right, and they continue to let me operate in that way, can I really call them a support? Can I really call them my friend? Because I would rather be upset that they make me look at it in the face for what it is and try to help me get to a place of healing and understanding than allowing me to continue to live this superficial way and miss out on all the possibilities that life has to offer me and for missing out on the plan that God may have for my life.
That's interesting because I am really concerned that if he did wake up one day and had to face the fact that 45 plus years have passed, would he be able to cope? Maybe he needs those things that helps keep him at least whole, because he does socially interact. Maybe people tolerate him, or maybe some people like to be reminded of the past. I mean, I've even, as folks know, developed flashbacks. And I guess you could say, well, that's stuck too. But at least we move throughout the decades, okay, of not living in the past. But I'm going to have to work on that one too. We are running out of time, and I know there's some things that you want to do to wrap up. I want to remind folks to write us at flashbksllc@gmail.com if you want to talk about Flashback and how to get involved. If you'd like to donate, that would really be cool too, at $Flashback Academy. And for those of you who have someone that you know might be stuck, might be grieving, don't have them call me. Have them call Dr. Clark, somebody that can really help them, because at the end of the day, you want to get what can become the best support services that you can to help improve your quality of life. I sure have. Dr. Clark, why don't you go ahead and take it home?
All right. So let's take our deep breath in. Let's let it out one more time. And let it out. And as you do it for the last time, by Dr. Alan Wolfit, when my grief becomes overwhelming, I can restore myself by pulling in. I owe it to myself to honor my alone time. Meditation, solitude, and quietness. These times can restore me. And some of my best healing can be done in solitude. So give yourself permission to grieve. Until the next time we meet, be good to yourself, give yourself grace for the pace, and give yourself room to grieve. I'll meet you back here on Thursday evening. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. And for those of you who are looking forward to being unstuck, I have a song for you that may help move you along. You might recognize this.
Don't you let nothing go.